at LAX, they had one. KEAWUO, statewide one. NAWRO from KEAWUO.
Good morning, John. NAWRO here. Yes, sir.
So I was driving into work today. I was thinking about the folders we need to create, and I'm listening to this recording from that you sent me this morning, and you know, you started mentioning making folders to put documents in our directory, and I guess two quick things on that. I can, like, if a member uploads a form and their folder doesn't exist, it can automatically create that. So don't kill yourself trying to get that done. But if people are manually sending you stuff and it's not going through the website, we might manually make that folder. But or you could go in their profile and upload it from their profile in the admin center, and then it would, you know, create it then. Which, mind you, I haven't done this yet, but that's kind of the goal, or, you know, the direction I'd like to go. And then what was the other thing? Oh, so as far as folder naming, because one of the things we talked about is, like, you know, friendly names versus, you know, what the FCC database shows and how their name, we might, you know, have initially members' documents come in under what the FCC database shows their name, and then later on when we give them a friendly name like a Will for a William, we might end up with another folder. That was what I thought of on the way in this morning, is if we structure the folders so it's like unit number -1 and then a space and then their name, however we want to call it, what we'll do is we'll programmatically only care about the unit number. And so I'll look up until the space, and then I'll know what folder to put it in. And so that'll allow us to change anyone's name on the website and not end up with two different folders for them, if that makes sense. And then that way, because the unit number being a number that we give them that never changes is kind of like the DMR ID, but for us. And that makes it so that no matter what, you know, if they get a new call sign, it's not going to change their unit number. If they get a, you know, if they change the name or get married, or, you know, just we give them a friendly name, that unit number stays the same no matter what. Quick break for time. So yeah, so what I think the best thing to do would be to just make the first thing in the folder name their unit number, space, and then the name or call sign, or the name and call sign, whatever. You know, after the space, after unit number, I don't care what you do. You know, you just tell me what you want it to be, and then I'll make sure that, you know, the website creates folders in a similar fashion. But that should solve a few of our little hiccups and kind of give us a permanent solution to ever-evolving, potentially, names and call signs. KEAWUO.
NAWRO. Yeah, John, I like it. And so, you know, like right now, this minute, we only have 29 to deal with. So, and there's only a handful so far. So just to keep things simple for me for now, and this might work out for you because I just have it resident on my own computer, on my own PC, and but I can do the folders the way you're saying with the unit number. It makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. I do like an alpha name in there so I know who it is, because if I learned with the photos, when you just put the number, it's like, well, you know, who is it? Unless you open up the photo, then you don't, and you know who it is. But so yeah, I will do that. Unit number followed by, you know, whoever, you know, the number. And then I'm just going to stagger a little bit before I actually, you know, you got time, so just let me know, because there's only a handful, and it's not really an issue. We got other stuff to do. Copy?
Yeah, copy. It's something that we're probably going to want sooner or later, you know, or sooner than later, especially when we start offering training that we want to save. And I mean, people can, we already kind of nudged everybody to kind of get moving on their ICS 100, 200s, and then Skyborn. And so getting the website and our directory in a position where it's ready to start taking in records, you know, the sooner the better. And then that just makes it so it's easy to grow, and everything is in one place, you know. And then I should tell you that because some of the training records for members will be in the personnel folder, I did give John VOX I gave him access to the personnel folder. So, and I added the SharePoint to his computer last night, so he can get in there and, you know, see member information for the most part. I can get him, like, read-only if you want, the same for, you know, everybody else, but, you know, that's a discussion we can have offline on our Monday huddle. But yeah, so... I guess that's all I got. I do want to get that set up so that we can start pulling in information and also start tracking, you know, expiration dates of certs. And then I'm not familiar with what, I forget what it was that you guys were talking about that Sean was sending over to you. I don't think we have we're not collecting that at this time on the website, but if that's something we want to collect, you know, I should probably note that. But I do probably want to get with John VOX and, you know, that whatever Sean was sending over and try to document all of that so I can add it to the website, especially if it expires, so that we can track it. But yeah, mainly I was looking at getting with John for the Oxcom stuff, because I kind of want to know what are all the things that we need to satisfy for each member for Oxcom, how many of those expire, and then just get a spot for it, you know. So that's all I got. K-E-A-W-U-O.
We're going to get in the weeds, so let's just table it for now, and I think we're good. And then I did respond to you in regards to the 7.2 thing. But, you know, I know you got the special detail. Tomorrow, maybe get a chance to talk to Sean about it and work something out. But don't want to create any busy work for anybody if you got a solution that's coming right around the pike. But right now, I'm very happy monitoring the 7.2 connection manually. So over to you.
Gotcha. Okay, so... the first half of your transmission, right when you said we were getting into the weeds, is when we started hearing you. So everything before that, my radio. So I missed all of that, but I got the rest of it. So, so I'll talk to Sean tomorrow. I did kind of briefly tell him the status of where we're at, and I didn't tell them about the February thing, but I'll let them know, so that we can, get that, you know, taken care of. And then I'll look into that other thing that you're saying where we get notifications. I'm not sure where to start with that one yet, but I can get with Sean on that. And then, it might be better to just kind of mainly monitor until February when I have a little bit of time to get into the, you know, MI6 and Node handling and reporting or whatever, and kind of go from there. Because I'm a little torn from my own bandwidth right now. But I keep hearing from Darren where he wants me to try all this stuff on HF, and it's like, I cannot. I just can't. I would love to, but now is not a good time at all. But yeah, I don't know. I will. I'll try to get into all that relatively soon. But I don't know. I'm rambling. KEAWO.
Hey, no worries, John. I like, again, oddly enough, I enjoy doing it. I pull Dean in for, you know, if I decide to take a break or if he wants to do it. It's not rocket science, but we're good. And I got an alarm, manual alarm on my phone just to check it on Monday mornings. So we'll go from there. Appreciate it. That's good for today, I guess, unless you got something else. NAWRO after you, sir.
Yeah, no, I don't really have anything else. I was glad to see that expiration email go out for my Sky One this morning. I sort of halfway expected it to go out yesterday, but I suppose it makes sense that it went out today. Because I set that 2 days ago, and I sort of expected it to go out, but I guess technically it was still active yesterday, even though it expires yesterday. Today is the first day that it's actually expired, and I guess I didn't really look at that close. And so that makes sense that it went out today. It is a little curious that Dave's expired certs aren't getting emails sent out on them. And I think that's because they're already expired, and they're already expired in the system. But they weren't ever active. So if he was to set them for, you know, the 17th, then on the 18th we should all get a notification. But I'll confirm that. It might only be doing Sky One right now, but I think it's doing everything. But I'll have to look. But nonetheless, the Skywarn stuff is working, and I know you guys were looking for that. And it's not actually expired. That was a test. So, KEAWO.
NAWRO, yeah, I copied that because I got that admin email on that, and I thought, John's playing. And I saw Mike's comment. He's right. It's every 2 years, so you're not going to think about it, right? You can be on. So this will be quite helpful. But, John, there is one thing I do need is got marching orders last night. We're going to have a father-son membership join us. The son is going to be under 18 years old, but he's getting a waiver to join. If I give him the link to sign up, is he going to be prevented from joining because of the DOB restriction?
No, so all that's doing is just collecting their date of birth. There's no minimum age. It's just so that when we review the application, we can see how old the person is so that we know that we need to get a waiver. So that's, you should let them sign up just fine, and we should all get a Discord notification for it. Just saying that we had a new member sign up, not that he's underage or anything, but we should be able to do that. Shouldn't have any issues. And if we do, then it's all my fault.
Perfect. That's the behavior I was looking for. I thought we might have to make an exception for that, but I'm glad you don't have it locked down. I can handle that in the review process. Not an issue, and that means I can go ahead and take care of that today. So hopefully we get a couple of new members real soon. Sounds good, John. Appreciate it. I'll get back to it then. Have a good one. I will be pretty much inside all day here listening. So, NAWRO.
All righty. Well, you have a good one, sir. And don't forget, we got potential for 1 to 3 inches today. So get out there while you still can and get yourself dinner and breakfast for tomorrow and put it in the freezer or the fridge or whatever and get ready to hunker down. Turn on your heated sidewalks and heated driveway and kick back and relax.
Yeah, I anticipated that. So after the meeting last night, the mobile unit is decidedly in the garage, decided not to go anywhere, enough provisions in the larder, so to speak, and the soup pot is on, it's cooking over there, so I think I'm going to have a little of that right now. And the vehicle that is displayed prominently on the homepage is all tucked away, safe and sound. Thanks again, John. N8WRL, clear after you.
All right. Well, I'll let you go this time. You have a good one, sir, and enjoy that stew or soup or whatever you said it was. KEAWUO. I'll be clear but monitoring. 7-8-3.
N8WRO, KE8LX. N8WRO, KE8LX. KE8WUO, John, are you out there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Do you know if the boss is working today, by chance?
Yes.
Sorry, Tim, I didn't catch that. Please repeat.
Affirmative. He is working today.
Copy that. I appreciate it. I will throw him a text message then. Thank you very much, guys. KE8LAX.
Copy. N8WRO. WAD 51.
N8WRO. N8WRO. N8BZR. N8Bravo Romeo.
Hey, sorry about that, Brian. N8WRO here. You calling me, sir?
No. N8BZR was calling you. That's my new call sign.
For real? Did you get one?
Yep, I changed it to NABZR because the guy that had it before me passed away about 10 years ago. And it has a lot of significance. It's an old nickname of mine when I was a kid. My nickname was Beezer. So it just seemed to be the right call sign to use, NABZR.
Copy that. Congratulations. When will it become effective there, Brian, or is it effective now?
Oh, I've been waiting for it. It just became effective. Let's see. Hold on. It was just today. Let's see. Authorization, paperless authorization printed on 1/16/2026. Over.
Copy that. KE8WUO.
Oh, I guess I'll have to let everybody know that that's my new call sign.
Sorry, Brian, I should let you know I'm bringing John in on this. Hey, what's the protocol here then so I could just go in and change it?
I'm not sure of the context. I just heard my call sign. I was preoccupied with other stuff. Can you catch me up to speed?
KE8ZRI, Brian, is also here with us, and he got news that his call sign has been approved, and it's now going to be N8VZR, I believe. So I'll just go in and change it. Shouldn't be an issue with the call.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. Trying to think. He doesn't have any company email or anything. It should be fine. I'm curious what happens when we put that into the QRZ or, you know, because for the next week, he might not show up in our logs under that call sign until the local cache of the FCC database is updated. So we'll have to kind of make sure that the that that's all up to date, but it shouldn't hurt anything in the website. I'm just thinking about like the total implications of what happens when someone's call sign changes, but I think that'll be fine. So, and then that actually goes to, we were talking about the folder names, unit number, and name is probably what we should do, because if we did unit number, name, and call sign, then we would have like another place to change that. So unit number and name is probably best. But yeah, I'm rambling. Yeah, I don't know. I think it should be fine.
Copy that, John. I'll go ahead and take care of that. I appreciate it. I'll give you a chance to sign here on your day job, and then I'm going to talk to Brian. Send it over to Brian when you sign. NAWRO, over to John.
John, you in there?
It's another value that should be able to change just fine. So, and then, yeah, yep, that should be fine. KE8WUO.
BZR, that's November 8th, Bravo, Zulu, Romeo. Bravo, Zulu, Romeo. I didn't mean to throw a wrench in the works there, John, but, yeah, I've been kind of excited about getting this call sign. Over.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's no wrench in the gears here. It's something we've anticipated, or at least I've anticipated. We had it happen with another member earlier in the year, so it was, you know, it's on my radar of things that can happen, and that's why we like the unit numbers and using that as what's kind of like a DMR ID. It's something that's given to you, it never changes, and that's mainly how we're going to keep track of you. So there's no worries. You guys are totally expected to, you know, continue your education after you get into Macomb ARPSC and get general and extra and have your licenses changed. It's something that we have to, you know, be able to accommodate. There's just a little bit of like future proofing that we're trying to think of and handle so that that's able to be done painlessly from our side. So you should not feel at all sorry. You should be excited about it, and I'm glad to hear it, and that's awesome. And as long as we update it in our roster, which we technically kind of have two rosters right now, we have an Excel one, and then we also have the website one. I guess we kind of have three rosters right now. But as long as we update that call sign in the roster that our netlog is pulling from, and I hope to get that updated to pull from the website's roster this weekend. So as long as we can do that, then your call sign should pull in just fine, and there's really no hiccups. I just like to ramble and, you know, explore how far down the rabbit hole, you know, things like that affect. At the end of the day, it should be totally fine and no worries.
Okay, yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. The KE8ZRI just didn't have any, you know, anything to do with me. And the NABZR is, you know, it's an old nickname of mine, Beezer, when I was a kid. So, I don't know, it means a lot to me, BZR. Everybody still calls me Beezer. So, yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad to have it. And, Tim, I was talking to, I'm going to change gears here, but Tim, I was talking to Joe, trying to get him to come to the meeting, and I guess he's locked up at home. He doesn't want to, he can't go out, and I was trying to get him to go on the Discord, and I don't know, I guess he doesn't want to join us on Discord. But I offered to go by and pick him up and bring him by, but he didn't want to do that, so I'm just going to let you know, because you told me that there was something you were going to tell me about that situation, over.
Yeah, copy that, Brian. I'll do that another time, but I won't forget this time. I know we saw each other at the meeting last night, but it's kind of busy. So congratulations on the call sign again. John, thanks for the consultation. I'm going to sign off right now and take care of that. so that your new call sign is situated properly in our database. And what John said, I echo that. Congratulations. No worries at all. We're waiting for this to happen. We wanted a test case, and you gave us one, so we're good with it. Back over to you, Brian.
Okay, guys, great. Okay, Tim, I'll let you get back to work. NAWRO and John, let's get back to work. KEHWOO, correction. And this is NAVZR. We are monitoring.
NAWRO, WAV.
Sure. Go ahead, Wally.
Send me an email with that update so I can update the master code block for all the DMR stuff for us.
Copy that. Will do. NAWRO clear, but listening.
Oh. Alpha 8, Whiskey Hotel, monitoring.
KE8WUOW8FU. KE8SVR, statewide one mobile. Good afternoon. This is W8FU, statewide one as well. Seen a couple of traffic conundrums on my short trip here this afternoon, so the roads are a little funky. Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
All right, afternoon, John. I'm doing all right. I'm 94, actually heading out to Buddy's place, jumping his truck so we can head up north to do some ice fishing. I'm hoping 75 is okay, but if this is any indication of what it's like further north of here, even in the Auburn Hills area. Yeah, it's going to be a long and slow road trip.
Yeah, I got out of work and the roads were all slick and covered, and I saw an accident up near my work, and then I just saw a truck that spun out, and big cube truck, and the back end was in a ditch. Now I'm here on 16 Mile Road heading westbound, and it's a little slippery. Be a little careful, so still got a little dusting while I wasn't paying attention, and back to less than full speed. So we had some plans tomorrow to do some rooftop work. I think I'm going to call it off. These temperatures are brutal, and this snow ain't letting up, and yeah, not a good time to be out on a roof.
Yeah, that's definitely the right call. I would not want to be on a roof, flat or sloped, in these conditions. It's just too sketchy for my liking. Whereabouts are you coming from at work? So I got to head to like the 21 Hayes area. I'm just curious if you're in that area and how those roads were.
No, I start my journey, well, when I'm leaving work. You know where the jail is there in Grossbeck? I'm there. And so in the morning, that's where I'm on my way to, and in the evening, that's where I'm leaving. So that's as far north as I get normally. I do get out and about. In fact, the day before yesterday, I was out all over the north end. I was in Ray Township and up in Macomb Township and stuff. But normally, I'm either there or commuting back home.
Oh, okay. Roger that. That's, at least you're going, at least I would hope, doing that route, you're going the opposite direction of traffic versus, those of us that live up north and commute into the city every morning, or at least I'm 3 days a week, except for this week on Thursday, I got a text at 5 a.m. from my boss that, the roads are terrible. They work from home if you want to. So that was pretty light for me. I just stayed home on Thursday, which was nice because I heard the roads Thursday morning were not pleasant to drive.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because Thursday morning they were terrible coming in. And, I mean, not the worst I've seen, but they were bad. And then going home, they were pretty good. And then today, coming in, they were pretty good. But here going home, they're a little flaky. So, but, yeah, I'm usually against traffic, so that's always, in my whole career, I've always kind of flown against traffic.
That's nice, flown against traffic. Could be ugly road conditions, but at least you hopefully aren't surrounded by a bunch of people. That's real nice. Actually, I got a repeater question for you. I'm getting involved with the St. Clair County ARPS group. I live kind of on the border of St. Clair and Macomb County, but I'm technically in St. Clair, and we're wanting to get the VHF repeaters in St. Clair County linked up again. But the problem we're running into is there's no internet at any of the repeater sites, but there is power. So I was just had a spitball idea if we could use All-Star with cellular, if that would work reliably.
Working with Riley and the crew up there, yeah, we talked a bit about this. And, you know, the best way, if you can get work done on a tower, is to put in MI6. That's what we do. We have MI6. We run our own amateur-based microwave network between sites. So you put in your own. But if you can't get a dish on the tower and then, you know, get to the nearest entry point for the MI6, then, yeah, you'll need something else. I've done it multiple sites. Phil's 442.5 repeater normally runs on a cellular connection, or has. Maybe not. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. I think it has ran on that, but I think he's running on a supply connection. I ran my Romeo site was on a Wi-Fi connection to Wi-Fi and a fire station. I did run my 2.6 for a while on a Verizon 4G connection. And I'm currently looking to do that right now. The 2.6 on this network is offline, and that's the roof work we need to do. And the easier solution would be for me to do just that, just to get like a jetpack or something like that, just internet it until the weather breaks and deal with the microwave link. We need a backup there anyhow, so I'm going to look into that a little bit, maybe instead of going up. But yes, you can do that, absolutely. It's got its caveats. There's latency issues, and and I've had problems keeping the connections up for long periods of time and stuff like that, and you know, but it works. It'll work for you.
Okay, awesome. That's good to know. And the microwave link was absolutely my first thought. I went to Michigan Tech, and while I was up there involved with the amateur radio club there, we built our own little EMR network across the entire Keweenaw, and that's what we eventually set up. We started, you know, using Motorola's IP Site Connect through internet, and then we were able to get up on both of our towers and get a microwave link between the two of them. It just takes a little more coordination because you need someone to climb the tower, but we had a lot more reliability with that across our TMR network. So I'm happy to hear that is an option. It would be really nice to have those repeaters linked. At my house, I can hit the Bell River power, but I cannot hit the Port Huron repeater where most of the nets take place. So okay.
Yeah, it's actually ironic because it is. It's extremely reliable compared to, you know, cellular and other various means. But that's what's exactly out on my main repeater. But there's a special case there. That was not part of the design system when we put it in. We just kind of, like, at the 11th hour had an extra set of 60 gig dishes. Well, 60 gig stuff is so, I mean, it could be off by just a hair, and you could just lose it completely. and it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment decision, and the mount, we didn't have a mount for it, and so it was just kind of thrown on a pipe that was a questionable, you know, rigidity, and of course, you know that, you know, it's very, very important for that stuff to be solid, you know, because it can't float around or anything like that. So it's ironic that it's the very microwave link that we put in that has failed me on my one repeater, but there's reason for that. But anyhow, yeah, that's the way to go. If you can get it up, we just use the Microtech stuff. And we link from site to site using Part 15. We don't even, you know, bother to keep it in, you know, in the amateur bands. And, you know, because there's no need to, the backbone stuff, you don't have to follow Part 97 rules and regs for that. But, yeah, anytime you guys want to do it, we can certainly map it out, see if it'll work, and figure out what you need to do it. But it's not bad, and it's really the way to go.
Riley, about that, our next meeting, because I know towards the end of last year we were, it's something that we want to get done. There used to be a link system there, and the hand that was maintaining it went silent key, and no one knew how it operated, and it just kind of fell apart. So getting something robust back up there would be awesome. Is that the Warren repeater you're talking about? Is that why that one's down? The microwave link is gone?
Yeah, that's why it's not connected. It's not down. The repeater's up, but it's standalone because the link to the network is now, and almost 100% sure what the problem is, and it's over on the it just beamed over to the hospital, there at 12 and Hoover, and I'm pretty sure the dish over on the hospital side has been compromised. So we got to get up there and take a peek at it. But yeah, that's the Warren repeater. It's a standalone until we can get up there and fix it. It also is a receiver for the 147-200, the Macomb County ARPSC machine. That's the receiver there. So it's nothing that we can't live without for a little while until the weather breaks, but I wouldn't mind getting some cellular in there, cellular data in there, just to keep it up and running so like we can get to it. But what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I'm very interested in getting...
Absolutely. Now that Richmond repeater is actually the only one I can hit from my house, and I can hit it with a handheld. I really enjoy having that repeater around. So if there's MI6 there, we could coordinate to stretch into St. Clair. I think that would be an awesome expansion of the entire network. I know there's quite a few hams out there that we're just kind of on our own little island in St. Clair, but when I come down into Macomb, now I understand why the Warren repeater is on my scan list, and now I understand why I don't hear the connected traffic in the mornings. So it would be awesome to expand up there. But I am just pulling into my destination, so appreciate it, John. Sure, we'll catch you on here. Good point. I'll say 7.3s for now. K8FCF.
Man, it'd be really awesome to get that network that's up in the UP connected to MI5. Keep it that stuff here.
Yeah, that MI5 guys are, they're weird. I heard the guy that does a lot of their climbing is just a wild card.
Wow. We can put an MI5 machine in St. Clair County, too.
We need to. We need to get one in Richmond, and we're all slated for that. We just got to get on that. We got to get all the team together and get up there and get that stuff in there. Get it cooking. And then for St. Clair, we'll just have to try to coordinate. Pump that darn MI6. Spread the love.
Yeah, that'd be really cool to go around St. Clair back to Burnside, make a circle.
Well, we're going to start a serious District 2 push. Get District 2 on the bandwagon.
Heck, if we get that network up north at Michigan Tech's not used much, we would have, we put one in St. Clair, we'd have quite a bit of the state covered with MI5.
Yeah, I'm not too sure the state of that system. I graduated a number of years ago now. When I was up there, we think that the president of our club was looking at putting it on MI5. There was some disagreements, and they kept it offline, and we used it for a lot of our own local activities. But the new club leadership might be more open to it. I think they ran into some linking issues and keeping the system maintained, and now I think they're just two standalone. I think they're on the Brandmeister network now. But it'll be awesome to have those on MI5. And then you just got to stretch into the Marquette area and then down south towards Escanaba, and most of the UP would be covered. KASCR.
Yeah, working with a couple of guys over by the bridge there trying to get some stuff on. Brad's got one on Sault Ste. Marie, and we got some on over there in Stutzmanville. But probably be up in the UP over by the bridge sometime spring, summer, what we're hoping. Yeah, I know there was some, why is Dan on event four? There was some disagreement with past people, and back when DMR Mark was going, and yeah, there were some issues there, but we've long moved past that, and in the end, it was better for us, so I'll leave it at that, I guess.
Well, next time I'm in the UP, I'll have to try out that Sault Ste. Marie machine, see if I can hit it. I should be heading up there in a couple of months, so I'll have to make sure it's in the code plug, and I'll give it a try. But it was a pleasure. I got to get rolling here, so I will talk with the gentleman later. KEASCR.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, we reuse all our frequencies, so if you get the code plug with the 16 built in it, it's in there. I forget which one that is. I don't remember it off the top of my head. But if you build the code plug with the 16 frequencies where you're using, so just because it says, you know, I don't know what that one's, Standish maybe. Just because it says Standish, it's still going to work. It's just an alpha tag, so. Yeah, look forward to getting some stuff on St. Clair County, too. That'd be cool. Sean, is that, is that site, your site, is that in St. Clair?
It's right over the border. It shines really well in the St. Clair. And, we'd like to have something a little deeper. We work in the Port Huron, Mary's Hill, with mobile for sure, you know, but, we cover pretty well into St. Clair, at least for the mobile.
Gotcha. Well, the deeper we go, the better. Uh-huh.
Yepers, you know, that's, we get those DB420s installed, and the combiner and the mulch coupler, that should improve performance. It's already working great. That should be even better. Because, you know, we were going to put the 420 at the top, so we gain altitude and gain. And, you know, granted, we lose mulch coupler losses, but the receive performance should be great. You know, then the combiner will be, we'll lose some there, but they'll allow us to put in a MI5 machine up there, the analog machine, and I know we talked about a GMRS. We've all lost our gas for that. I was just listening to a little bit of it over on the Mount Clemens, and it was in full swing again.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to do two analogs. Kind of redundant, but so we have coverage for Micon when you split off.
Well, Micon remains available on the UMP, and no, TJ's machine's back online. That's what I normally am on while the 2.6 is down. So Micon will still be there, and then the Richmond and the Warren are available as a operational channel for McComb or PSC. So it worked out pretty good that way. We're talking about some sort of separate thing. Remember you were talking about a second VMR machine? You know, one slot, you know, under one protocol, one slot under another. We might want to revisit something like that. I got a use for a slot and you know, we could probably put a slot on whatever you were talking. Not sure if it was you or me, but I caught like a syllable your last transmission.
I don't know why you got a signal issue. Just depends on where I hold it, I guess. But it should be okay. I said, we're just looking for, you know, something to get over into St. Clair County for the MICON for the Skywarm reports. But, anyways. Anywho, I will chat with you later. Give me the rest of there.
All right, well, we can discuss that. We, you know, we need to sit down and map out the needs and put the pairs for the best use, you know. Sometimes, you know, we don't think it out. Put the pairs to their best use. All right, anyhow, we'll catch you later. I'm about a half.
Yeah, I guess if nothing else, we could talk about leaving Richmond affected for my time and just dropping my signals. Man, my signal kind of went to crap. Give me those still here.
Hey, you're left hit and miss. All right, man.
Talk to you.
I'll be in a few.
Be your EKMS honoring my high state white one.
TW monitoring
state white one.
KFA DRC. KFA DRC for radio check.
KFA DRC, this is KFA DPZ. Good evening, Jack. How you doing? The radio's working just fine.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Yeah, I just want to see if this digital is working or not, because I'm a DM32UV. That's why.
With that, I was going to ask what you're using. I have one of those myself. It's actually a pretty solid radio coming from Palfon.
I tell you one thing, I love this radio. It's got all colors, you know. The way I programmed it is colors, yellow, orange, red, and blue, and a green. All of them. Which is, I love that color. They should, you know what, I was thinking they should have put that on the cell phone. It'd be so nice to put something like this on a cell phone. But I guess it costs too much money.
Maybe it does. But, yeah, I like, you know, being able to color the various bits of text, too, because it basically just makes the whole screen easier to read, you know? You know, this color means this, and that color means that. So, you know, exactly what you're looking at without having to fully read the whole thing. You know, you can understand in a half a second what you're looking at.
Going to breakfast tomorrow, Jack?
Sir. Yeah, I'll be there.
All right, we'll see you there. We can compare DM32s. You know, you're the reason I bought one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like it. I really do like it. And it speaks really clear, too, and like a Motorola one.
All right. I'll let you guys get back to it. I just, I think it's the first time I ever talked to you under, Jack. See you in the morning. Take care, guys. Cliff Roy, W8FU.
Yeah, Sean, you'd have a good night. But, yeah, Jack, it sounded good. You got it working right, and I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you again. Everyone, have a good night. See you there, Sean, in the morning.
Alrighty then. Well, then to get jacked, I hope you get a good night's sleep as well. This is Cliff, JFA-PPZ, Twitter and Monitoring.
KF8-DRC-KF8-DLX.
KF8-DRC. Go ahead, Richard.
Long time no talk to you. We used to talk on GMRS for a while back there. Just curious, which color DM32 did you get?
The Bullfink DM32 UV.
Yeah, which color did you get? Is the radio all black, or is it the black and green, or the pure green, or the yellow one? Which color did you get?
I got that green and black. It's a beautiful color.
Yep, I've got the black and sand, the tan, black and tan, and I just ordered a gray one. They actually have a gray one now, and it's really cool looking.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I like this color. And one thing I like about it, it's got a different color, so you can monitor two different frequencies, and that's the one I have them. I have the green on top frequency, and the bottom one in orange, and I and the lighting, the date and time and year, and yellow. It shows up beautiful.
That one?
Go ahead, I didn't get that.
I said, another cool thing is you can upload any picture you want to load when you turn the radio on and it does the load up, the boot load. You can make that into any picture you want it to be. You just have to get a picture and make the picture the right size and then upload it into the firmware.
Yeah, Richard, I already got my picture on the radio. I used to have PYT88. And I had a t-shirt on, a green t-shirt, and it's already on the radio as soon as you turn it on. KF8-DRC.
Yeah, that's a cool feature too. There's a lot of cool features to that radio if you play with it a little bit here and there. It had its quirks at first, but they worked most of the bugs out of it, so. It's a good radio for the price now, that's for sure.
Yeah, I tell you what, I got mine, and it has a mic, and it has a free antenna, and it has that crate to power, and in the back you can use a USB. All that, it was $54. It was on Black Friday.
Yep, they are definitely worth the... Definitely worth every penny. They're even coming down even more now. They've got, I think Amazon's running it now for $60. You even get an extended battery, a second battery, which is cool because the batteries do go kind of fast in those things, but the extended battery lasts for quite a while.
Yeah, one thing about the battery, it has a screw. You got to screw it on. And it's okay for me, you know, because I don't use it a lot. Sometimes I have to use it a lot. But I like to have one, you know, it comes out by itself. They do have some of them. That's what I heard. But I haven't seen them.
No, the only batteries they have for them right now are the stock batteries. And then, like I said, the extended, which are just a little bit longer, and they still have the screw. But it's I think it's a 3,300 milliamp hour instead of the 2,800 that comes with them. But it makes a big difference. It makes the radio last a lot longer.
Yeah, it does do that longer, really. And you know what? I think this is a good radio for when you're traveling. You know, you don't have to go through all that headache. You know, your signal is not that good and all that, but when you're on a digital, it's a different story.
No, it depends. I mean, if you travel and you want to stay on the digital, I don't know if you have a hotspot or not, but just take your hotspot and hook it up to your phone internet and take the radio with you. I have a mobile DMR in my truck already, so I'm good there. But I'd probably still bring a handheld with me just to have, you know, to carry around while I was out and about. And that one's a little big, though. That's the other thing, is that radio's got a really good size to it. I've got a couple other smaller DMRs that I would probably use for carrying around more than I would that one. But other than that, like I said, it's a great radio.
I only have two DMR radios. This one, and I got TYT390. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not. That is a good radio, too. It's 10-watt radio, which is this one here. It's 8.5. It's not even 10 watts.
Yep. I've had a couple TYT radios myself. As far as the 32, the DM32, if you're still using the stock antenna, that's why you're only getting the 8.5 watts out of it. Get either a Comet SM, I think it's an SMJ. Hold on, Jack. All right, sorry about that. But it's a Comet. I think it's an SMAJ or something along that. It's a 24 SMA is what it is. Or, I don't know if you've ever heard of Signal Stuff. They sell a antenna called a Signal Stick. And those two right there on that radio bring the SWR way down so you get more power out of it. I get 12 watts out of mine with either one of those.
Let me ask you, is that antenna is on Amazon too?
The Comet is on Amazon. The Signal Stick you can only get from the manufacturer that makes them. It's called SignalStuff.com. I think it's .com. It might be .org. But I'm pretty sure it's .com.
The one is Comet. Just put down Comet on Amazon and it should come out.
Come back with that one more time.
If I'm on the Amazon website, just put down Comet antenna, and that's it.
Comet dual band handheld, and it should pop up. Like I said, I know it's the number on it is 24, and I think it's either SMA or SMJ, something like that.
So I got 24 SMJ. Put that on Amazon website, and I should be able to see that antenna, correct?
One second. I am looking it up on my orders here, my back orders, and I'll give you the exact number. Yep, it's Comet Dual Band HT Antenna SMA 24J.
Okay, so it's Comet HT FMA 24J.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think I'm going to look at that one. I want to see how long that is. How long that is, do you think?
I believe they are 19.5 inches, me and the dual band, but they're a very skinny antenna. It's like a whip antenna. It's not like the thick 771s. It's a really, really skinny antenna and has a small connector to it, so it's really low profile. It's a really good antenna, and they're like $24, and then the signal sticks are the same. It's a whip antenna, and it's about 19.5 inches, and about $24 too. But either one of those, like you said, it brings the SWR down on the radio so you get more power out of it.
Okay, we said thank you for that information. I will look at that now and I get one. I like to get that though. It sounds, it's not that strong antenna, you know. It must be a good antenna for this radio.
Yeah, the Comet antennas are all pretty good antennas. I've got a Comet 2x4 that I use as one of my base station antennas. It's just a magnet mount on the roof of my garage. I got a steel roof on the garage, so basically acts as a big old ground plane. But I've got the Comet 2x4, and then I've got a Diamond 7900. And I use those two on my 847, IFT 847, so I can do satellite tracking and stuff, and they both work excellent. The 2x4's got just a little bit better reception, a little bit better transmit, and then the 7900's got a little better reception, so they complement each other pretty well.
Well, I have in my pickup truck, I have 2x4, a 2 meter, 70 centimeter, and a GMRS. That's what I have in the pickup truck. And I also have Reality DB20G, but it's not digital. It's just analog.
Yep, I've got the DMR radio I have is a Radiality. It's the... Oh, what is it? It's the GB25D. And then I've also got the Radiality GD88 handheld, and they both run off the same exact firmware, so the code plugs are interchangeable with them. So it makes life easy. I only have to do one code plug for the two radios. And then I've got an AnyZone 878 that I just got, that's just got done programming. And, still working on that one a little bit there. But I'm waiting for my hotspot to get here, and then I'm just going to hook them all in the hotspot so I don't have to worry about this chase for repeaters anymore.
Yeah, you know what? There's this one here, the DM32. This is a guy that says scan. What I like to do... Whenever I go, when you put it on the scan, it picks up all these repeaters. And I haven't got to that yet on the program. Or where do you go on the program, if you know that? Where do you go to get that?
Yeah, you're talking about the ROAM? I know there is a certain way you have to do it. To make it actually work. I know on a scan, there's a certain way you have to do the scan, just even on your analog channels. You have to put them in the list on the radio, but not in the CPS to get it to actually scan correctly. I learned that one the hard way. It took me a while to figure that one out. But the ROAM is the same, kind of the same way. You have to do it a certain way. Just look it up on YouTube. There's a couple of YouTube videos out there that explain it really well and show you how to get it to work.
Yeah, I will look for that on YouTube, that's for sure. All right, Richard, take care. Have a good day. DRC.
All right, Jack, good talking to you. Have a good rest of your night. KF8DRC, KF8BLX, and I'll be back Monday. 73.